Welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Hummer. We got a stacked show tonight. No Way Out 2001. Before we get into that, let me introduce my co-hosts and good friends. My brother Doug.
Yo.
Our buddy Clint is
here.
Hello. Stevie's here.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good. And yeah, let's get right into it. I know, I was just fucking around. And our good buddy Eric's here. How you doing, Eric?
What's up?
Not much. That was just because you let Box beat me the other day, but we'll get started. No Way Out. First of all, we got a stacked weekend. If you're not a fan, a follower of the show, this is probably the weekend to do it. We got No Way Out 2001 tonight. Tomorrow is Settle It in the Ring with a stacked. I'll still give it to you to plug some stuff.
Right.
A stacked roster for tomorrow. We're gonna have our own Clinith. Clinith will be on tomorrow, and he'll be.
He better represent this show, probably.
He's gonna kick ass for this.
I will.
We need him to because we've been. Ass is kicked. Boxman, the defending.
He should have won that first
week. Hey, the judge was a boob.
Who are you?
Yeah, I know. the reigning champion, Boxman, will be in. Controversial win last week. He beat one of the top talents in the world, but it is what it is. And a good friend of ours, Mark McGee, will be on. And it's been a while since he's done any podcast with us, so this is going to be fun. Three really smart guys and three big wrestling fans.
Three really smart guys of at least Clinith is humble and like it doesn't try to, you know, force it down everybody's throat how smart he is. So
like you? Or are you talking about Mark?
I'm talking about Mark.
Oh, okay. Don't
cheap shot. Wait, Boxman too?
No, Boxman's not that bad.
I can't really make any jokes about Boxman.
I like Boxman.
I like Boxman too, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to fuck with him. Mm-hmm.
And Sunday, I'll be debuting my new horror show, scary movie type show with my sister Mindy. We're still working on a name, but we'll definitely have that, and that's going to be out on Sunday.
Just type in the description, scary movie type show.
Yeah. I have a couple of names, but they're all doozies, so I need to come up with a good one. But, Doug, you got any other questions?
If I think one, I'll let you know.
Thank you, Eric.
All right. So,
yeah.
Make sure to Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday, Friday night, Mixler.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. They can be found on all major podcast platforms, either around 10:15, 10:20 Eastern Time. Obviously, listen to us. 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time every Friday night for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Got some big ones coming up.
Yeah.
Okay. Next Friday night's going to be Fantasy Warfare. Of course, blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted. Next Friday will be Fantasy Warfare. We're going to do the hardcore title. Yeah. Now, in 2 weeks, March the 12th, I had something planned, but that had been changed because I also forgot to figure that whoever won fantasy for the month was just going to have to pick a week. So when I detailed everything like 8 weeks ahead of time, I forgot to figure that in.
Yeah.
That is still be well, Daniel has to determine it because there's no way Eric's getting 60 points tonight. So,
what's happening tonight?
SmackDown.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
You can't get 60 points off SmackDown. And it's going to be a tier list in 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, we're going to be doing the TNA tier list. Finally, since it can't win a fucking poll because we're an old school wrestling group, we're going to be doing the TNA tier list.
Finally.
Everyone that's really wrestled in Impact, we're going to be ranking them up on a tier list. So. All
right, that's in 2 weeks. In 3 weeks, March 19th will be WrestleMania 10. because we'll be coming up on the anniversary.
Yes.
In 4 weeks, March 26th, we'll be doing a retrospective on the very last episode of WCW Monday Nitro. Because it'll
it's
be the
one I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. And it was Eric's idea, and I may have been drinking or high at the time. That's why I so we'll be doing that. And of course, I'll keep everybody up to date as to what we'll be doing, of course, in the month of April once we get a couple weeks into the month of March. We got that going on. We will have another history lesson soon on Butch Reed. I just don't know when. Obviously, settle it in the ring either every Saturday or every other Saturday. Times will vary. And, of course, your new horror show with the queen of horror herself, Sister Mindy.
Yes.
I'll just leave it at that so I don't make any so I don't have any insults and I can't get in trouble.
There you go. All right, boys.
Have a control chaos.
Okay. It might happen this weekend. I didn't want to introduce it. Me and Sky are pretty much taking the reins on that, making it a hip-hop type thing.
Okay.
It's probably going to be random drops for a while instead of, you know, a weekly schedule like we do. I think we're just going to do it when we feel like it.
It's probably going to be the same thing as
it. Yeah, pretty much. Instead of, like, the scheduled program we've been doing, that'll be something random to throw in there.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So we're all settled then?
I think so.
Okay. All right, gentlemen. WWF Way Out 2001. This is an amazing time in wrestling. You're coming off one of the best Royal Rumbles, and you're going into, after this, probably the best WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And a great time for the business. I mean, it starts slowing down not too long after this, but this is when it's still hot. You have a roster with The Rock, Austin, Triple H, Undertaker, Kane, Kurt Angle, Chris Jericho, Guerrero, Benoit. You had all this excess amount of talent. And
you can't forget the lower level guys, too, because everybody felt important at this time.
Hardy Boys.
What?
Hardy Boys, yeah, that's true.
I said the Hardy Boys,
From about 1998 to about 2001-ish, maybe 2002-ish, everybody felt important because you had Raw, but SmackDown, you had Heat, you had Metal / Jack, it depended on what time of the day you were watching it.
Yeah.
Everybody felt important.
Well, I think it's because everybody kind of was important, though. And I mean, more shows now than there was back then. But not everyone feels important.
Right. And here's the thing. Like, they even, like, even on, like, even Heat and, like, Jack and stuff had their own storylines.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the Raven thing with the mystery woman with the hands?
Yeah.
I mean, she basically had a feud. They basically had a feud with Crash and Molly Holly that was only playing out on Heat. Or being playing out on Heat. Heat. Act, I think, and it would have occasionally make its way to Raw.
Yeah, a little, as we see.
Yeah.
All right, going into this, No Way Out 2001. We're in Paradise, Nevada, the Thomas and Mack Center. Buy rate at home is 590,000. 590,000 buys. You have a little over 15,000 people in attendance. Business is still hot.
By the way, we say Paradise, Nevada, but you're basically in Vegas.
Pretty much. But before we get into this, Quintus, what was going back and watching this, or, you know, whenever was the last time you watched this, what was the match you were looking forward most to watching back?
The Three Stages of Hell between Austin and Triple H. I mean, the pay-per-view was circled behind that one view.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
It wasn't even a main event.
No, it was kind of early on, actually.
Yeah, it should have been a main event. If looking at it now, I think if you were rebooking now, I think they would have made that into the main event instead of, it's cutting on the Rock.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, I enjoyed both matches, but starting off at the beginning here, because on Heat, you got Rikishi beat Matt Hardy by DQ.
All right. So the story behind that is Rikishi, 3 days before on SmackDown, gave Lita the face. And Lita and Matt Hardy officially became a couple on Raw, like the Monday before.
Yeah.
Lita gets a stink face, and now Matt Hardy is like, okay, I have to avenge my girlfriend. Which, how the hell are you going to avenge your girlfriend going against a guy whose ass is bigger than your girlfriend's actual head? But, I mean, that match, because I actually remember watching this, because I watched a lot of the, you know, Heat specs. I never missed unless I got grounded.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy Heat?
I did. Like, from the time we moved out to Newfane, to, you know, obviously, then I never missed a Sunday night unless I got grounded. And still, I found a way to watch. Because if I got told I wasn't watching wrestling that night, I would still put it on. That just showed you how much I appreciated authority. I rarely missed a Heat. I used to get pissed off when we were at, like, family functions or somebody's house or whatever like that. I used to get pissed if we weren't home by 7 o'clock so I could watch Heat. Yeah. That's why I used to tell Mom, I don't want to go anywhere. I'd rather just stay home. Well, why? Well, wrestling's on at 7 o'clock and we're not going to be home yet. Boy, did I get into some trouble.
So that's what happened on Heat. We start the show off with a nice little hardcore championship match. Lasted 4 minutes and 20 seconds for our stoner listeners. We got Big Show beating Raven for the championship. It changes hands a couple times, though.
Yeah, Billy Gunn won it, then Raven won it back, then Big Show won it. But here's the thing, too. You had Crash Holly, Hardcore Holly, and Steve Blackman all involved.
Crash Holly was hot dog.
He was a hot dog vendor, but he looked like a pizza delivery guy.
I thought he was a pizza delivery guy that had popcorn with him.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he looked like to me. A pizza guy. A concession dude that just ran out from the crowd trying to win the hardcore championship.
Yeah.
Is this only 4 minutes? It seemed longer.
Yeah, it was 4 minutes. It was great. It was a nice way to open the show. You know, nice hardcore action. Stevie, speaking of Crash Holly, what are your opinions on Crash Holly?
Crash Holly?
Yeah.
You know what? My honest opinion is I think he was underrated back then. Because I think all he was used for is hardcore matches.
Yeah. I agree, and to me, I feel like you can kind of liken him to R-Truth a little bit with the 24/7 rule, because that really rejuvenated Crash and made him, you know, it gave him something to do. But not even just that, he got it over. And kind of the same thing with his 24/7 title in R-Truth, where Truth wasn't doing anything, and then he.
Well, you got to remember when this hardcore title 24/7 rule first came about. Crash hadn't really been there that long.
Yeah.
Crash had been in there, been in the company for 6 months. He came in as Hardcore's cousin. And they were teaming, and he would always do all the jobs. Because he made him look like an idiot. Huh? Anyway, but they made him do all the jobs and they made him look like an idiot because they said he looked like Elroy Jetson. And this hardcore title, yeah, it was something for him to do, and he got it over. Do you want to splash water on you to wake you up? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was very entertaining in that role. The Raven here, Eric, let me ask you, because you're a Philly boy. Why did Raven not have the same success in the E? Well, I guess the F still at this point. Last WWF pay-per-view, by the way, right? Raven? No,
yeah.
No Way Out.
No.
It was WrestleMania 17 WWF.
It was WWF until 2002.
2002.
But asking you this, Eric, about Raven, why didn't Raven have the same success he had in ECW and even WCW? What's missing?
I think it's because he was so hardcore. Maybe that wasn't the WWE style at the time. I mean, even though they had the hardcore championship, I just think I don't know if Vince was a big fan of him or was he just. Just didn't see anything relevant in him at the time.
Interesting.
I have an opinion.
Go ahead.
And I do notice that a lot back in this time, I think the only successful team that actually came from ECW to WWE that had successful was the Dudley Boys and Rob Van Dam. Those two are the only big-time players that actually made names, had successful runs. Everything else was just more, everybody became like a jobber if you were from, especially ECW, a Paul Heyman guy.
But
and it seemed like, and then I'll say this, Raven had, I like Raven's run in WCW better than I did in WWE. I think with the Raven flop, he had better storylines in WCW than WWE. I just never figured that Vince was a big fan of all these ECW coming together, especially.
But why Raven?
Closely related.
Because I understand Rhino or even Taz, those kind of archetypes, they are ECW guys, but Raven was more of a creative guy. You know, he was more of a storyline. You think WWE would like that, but it seems like they still did nothing with
it. And that's one reason why I look at the same thing. It's like, yeah, he was creative, because even if you look at WCW, he created the Raven flop. Believe it, what about the whole Raven movement? That would have been like really successful, wanted to see if he would bring it back to the WWE. But it was just like they turned him into a jobber actor with the hardcore title, because basically what the hardcore title was like at the time was a jobber type move. You had one match, but you had five people interfere with five different referees trying to win a title.
Yeah.
Yep.
And here's the thing about Raven, right? Is that, like, you know, Raven. He was in one of the better matches at WrestleMania 17, because that match is really underrated.
Kane and Show, I agree.
Yeah. Okay. 6 days after the match at Mania, or no, not 6 days, 7 days, because it was the following week on Heat. He's jobbing the Haku. And not that there's really anything wrong with that, but Jesus Christ, Haku really hadn't done anything. They took Rikishi away from him by this point. Well, Rikishi, I think, got hurt. Or no, he didn't get hurt. They sent him to fat camp. No, I'm serious. They told him he had to lose weight. He only lost like 25 pounds. But yeah, no, so Haku wasn't doing anything. And now, you know, Raven, after having a really good outing at WrestleMania, he's going to, don't flip me off. You know, he's going to job to a guy that's barely used now.
What about Big Show here? Do you think Big Show, can you tell he wasn't quite, you know, polished yet? He didn't go to OVW or anything yet?
No, he came back from OVW already.
2001?
Yeah. He was there in the summer of 2000.
So do you think he had more polish on him?
I think the thing is, he still needed to lose weight. But he was actually, you know how they kept billing him at 500 pounds?
Yeah.
He was actually at like 475. Okay, but they had to keep billing him as the world's largest athlete.
He was still, wasn't he?
Yeah. And here's the thing, like they said 7'2", right? And he actually stayed 7'2" tall until I think finally when he came back to the company in 08, that's when they finally just called him 7 foot. They gimmicked a lot of that shit.
All right.
Well, can you blame him?
Ratings on the match. Stevie, I'll start with you. 1 out of 10.
I'm probably going to give it a 7. That's my honest opinion.
Okay. Travis?
I'll give it a 6.
Eric?
I'll give it a 6.5.
Daisy?
Daisy? I haven't had surgery yet. I love the hardcore title shit, so I'd actually give it a 7.
Yeah, I'm going to go 7 as well. I thought this was entertaining for what it was. It did not last very long, but it got a bunch of guys out there. It was a good opener. Now, moving on to what I thought was a genuine bright spot in the show, and four guys that can tremendously go like nobody's business. Chris Jericho, Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero and X-Pac in a fatal four-way for the Intercontinental Championship. Clint, what was your thoughts on this one?
I feel we had a lot of hard-hitting action, especially knowing that it was two of the Radicals. Oh, who's teaming up? So I figured going into it, you know, I totally forgot about the match itself, that meanwhile, or Guerrero was going to walk out as champ. But the match itself, I enjoy.
Wait, Guerrero walked out?
No, that's what he thought.
Oh, that's what he thought. I thought it was tremendously entertaining as well. Steve, what did you think of this one? And what did you think of the dynamic with the Radicals, Benoit and Guerrero?
I think it was awesome. I mean, it was a really great match. I mean, to be honest with you, put Benoit and Jericho in the ring together, it usually is Benoit and Jericho were the focus of the match.
Yeah. Eric, what'd you think?
Yeah.
I thought it was a solid match. I mean, all four guys are legends in their own right. I mean, X-Pac is underrated himself. Benoit, we all know him. And then Eddie and Jericho, too. I mean, Chris Jericho is a living legend.
Yeah. Now, Doug, I want to hear your thoughts, because I remember at first you said that this was filler. After watching this, I would have to disagree with you, but I want you to elaborate.
Well, it was meant to be filler. Because here's the thing. So, Jericho put out both Eddie Guerrero and X-Pac. Well, in storyline, right?
Yeah.
So, the feud, they both had an issue with him.
Yeah.
So, you're expecting, okay, a triple threat match. They needed something for Benoit to do at the pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. All right? So, they put him in the match. Because, you know, Benoit never necessarily got his rematch after losing the Intercontinental title at the Rumble.
In the ladder match.
So, you know, they had to have something for him to do. But see, Benoit's gimmick back then was always sticking his nose in business that really he had nothing to fucking do with. Like, when on the Raw before, it was Ben, or it was Guerrero versus X-Pac. The winner would get to face Jericho at the pay-per-view. Jericho was the referee. Made a lot of sense. Jericho knocked out both guys. Chris Benoit jumped him from behind. And it really made no sense. It's like, all right, because Benoit was supposed to wrestle in the main, or was wrestling in the main event of that show. He was teaming with Kurt Angle to take on Rock and Austin. And it's just like, why the fuck are you have a match later on? Mind your own fucking business, you gap tooth never mind. You gap tooth jackass.
I think you can slander him. I don't think anyone would care.
Yeah. But that was Benoit's gimmick. It was stick your nose in business that you have nothing to fucking do with. And also make sure that, you know, the person's back is turned. I didn't really like, and again, I was only like 15 at the time, but I really didn't like Benoit around this time because
he was a good heel. You're not supposed to like him.
Right. Because that's what you're supposed to do. Is that like, you know, because he was getting heat by jumping guys, especially when they didn't see it coming, because that's what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to. A good heel is not supposed to walk up, slap it, and slap the guy in the face or punch the guy in the mouth. A good heel is supposed to wait till the guy's back is turned and then punch him in the head with a brick. All right.
Yeah.
Punch him in the back of the head with a brick.
Yeah.
This match was meant as filler. Or they basically just said, all right, we need Jericho's pay-per-view. Benoit's got to be on the pay-per-view. Oh, yeah, but, you know, Eddie and X-Pac have an issue with Jericho, so throw them in.
Yeah, but it's not. It's not filler in execution, though. It's a great match.
I guess you're trying to say on paper it's meant to get filler, but it actually turned out better than what it was actually planned.
Well, that is what I'm trying to say. If anything, the filler was later on with Stevie Richards and Jerry Lawler.
That is filler, and it's true as form. And I don't think it's filler because I liked all the different dynamics in this match. I think it helped make it. I think Jericho having an issue with X-Pac was important. And I also think Benoit Eddie's dynamic was important to the match. That made the match.
I agree with that. But what I'm saying is that when they came up with this card, this match, because this match wasn't made till SmackDown.
Right.
This match, basically when you are the last match added on a pay-per-view, you are technically considered the filler.
I think it's filler if it's because there are storylines in this. Just like you can't even really call Steven Richards and Jerry Lawler filler because that's a storyline. Filler is Hardcore Holly and Rhino, No Way Out 2004 that we were covering, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Filler's taking two random guys that don't have an issue with each other and saying, go ahead, wrestle.
Right, which is what they did a lot in 04. See, 01, again, a lot of this stuff may have been meant to have been filler.
This still felt like good booking.
I agree with that. What I'm saying is that their intention was to just be filler. That's not how it was executed, though.
Also, Justin Credible, he is what it is. It's not like I'm not the biggest fan of him. But did you guys check it out when they did the double kick on Eddie outside the ring? When they did the double super kick, him and X-Pac?
Yeah.
It was fucking brutal.
Yeah.
I could hear that TV. That shit was nuts. You forget because I know Benoit is kind of a touchy subject, and it's hard to watch some stuff, but you really forget how intense he was. Because, like, every clothesline he hit on somebody, it's like, damn. Like, that looked like it took the brain out of somebody.
Okay. I know, you know, everybody's going to continue that touchy subject.
Yeah.
Forgetting what he did, and it's hard to forget what he did.
Yeah.
Okay? You could still say you enjoyed watching a man wrestle. You don't have to say you enjoyed watching the man kill his wife and son. Okay?
At least for rated R.
Right, which, again, and nobody, you know, obviously nobody's going to defend that because it's undefendable. But
exactly.
You can still say you were a fan of the guy's work. Because what the guy he was in the ring obviously was not the guy he was backstage.
That's too loaded for this fucking show. Because that's saying separating art from the person. And then it's... That's way.
What I'm trying to say is that, you know, I'm not saying forget what he did, you know, it doesn't matter, because it does matter.
You're saying you should separate art from the person. You should be able to enjoy his wrestling without thinking about that.
Yeah,
and I understand.
And
what
I
you're
think
saying.
So, and I can, right? Because to be honest with you, what he did. It was wrong, yes, but that's not going to make me turn off his match.
Okay. And a lot of people are different from that, and that's okay. That is a whole different discussion, and there's two sides that feel very different. So that's too – I don't want to get in that too much.
Yeah, I don't want to get into it either. All I'm saying is that you can still watch his wrestling with an open mind. If you choose not to, then good for you. I choose to. And if you're going to sit here and tell me that I'm wrong, I'm going to throw you outside, I'm going to get in my car, and I'm going to run you over.
I'm not telling you it's wrong, but there's also...
I can't pick you up and throw you.
There's also people that will never watch the Cosby Show. There's people that will never listen to...
I hated that show anyway.
There's people that will never listen to an R. Kelly song again. Sometimes when people that we idolize as heroes maybe or as serious entertainers, when they do fucked up stuff or when they're not good people... I don't blame people for not wanting to support them and watch or listen to their stuff. Will I still watch a Chris Benoit match? Yes. But I see both sides.
Right.
Of it, so.
I do too. What I'm saying is that that's what I would do. If you choose to do differently, by all means, do that. If
yeah.
you're going to criticize me for doing it,
I don't think anybody is.
Fuck off.
No one criticized you, but...
You just did, you idiot.
When? Wait,
okay.
I just said it was a touchy subject.
I think that's what he meant by criticizing him. You should have never said touchy. Okay. Shit. Just kept your mouth shut and let him go on.
Okay. Sorry for saying that. Wife and kids is a touchy subject. My bad. Eddie Guerrero proved a lot during this. X-Pac was. I think he's the most underrated of the four. What'd you think of X-Pac in this match?
X-Pac was like the underrated, and I think just coming and you notice around that time, DX is starting to abandon, and in the middle of the match, his best friend Justin Credible shows up. So it's like I guess X-Pac is trying to prove that he can be a on his own type of way, a wrestler, and push to his own. Which eventually leads him forming X Factor later on. But yeah, I think.
Okay, all right. Well, how many stars would you give this out of 10?
I'll say 7.
All right, Eric?
I'll say 6.5. Again.
Stevie?
I'd give it a 7.
Doug?
7.
All right, I'd probably go 7.5 myself. Moving on to the next match. Stephanie McMahon and Trish Stratus. This is a hell of an entertaining one. Probably not the most barn-burning wrestling or anything, but... definitely an entertainment, a spectacle. William Regal was involved. Eric, what was your thoughts on this one?
This is what I call filler. I mean, even though there's a storyline, I mean, this was entertaining. I mean, you have boss's daughter versus the boss's secret lover.
It's not a secret lover, it's a mistress. She was a mistress. Get it right.
Mistress, yeah. Okay.
Wasn't even
mistress.
A secret.
Yeah, I missed it. Thank you, kind of. Was it a great match? No. Was it entertaining? Yeah. So it was just entertaining. And William Regal getting involved and picking the wrong one to win was even more funny.
Yeah. What was your thought?
I actually enjoyed this match just based on the fact that it was a good story. Well, not even really a good story. It was a compelling story because you didn't know what was, Stephanie didn't like the fact that Trish was getting all the attention from Vince. And by the way, this match really should not have been any good at all because Trish was a manager. I mean, she did a little bit of wrestling, but like she finally started. And Stephanie McMahon was never meant to be a wrestler.
No.
Neither was Trish, really.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So the match should not have been good. But somehow they made it passable.
Well, the only reason why it was passable is because of Regal. Regal was the one that made the match interesting in itself. Everything was all messed up. It was all about telling Regal that he knows what he wants, who the winner should be. And that's exactly what Regal did. Regal thought that he was going out there to screw over the winner. In that case, it was supposed to be Trish Stratus. Until Trish slapped him, he hit her finisher on her and put Stephanie on top of him because he got mad at her. Exactly. The match was garbage. The storyline, it was a great story. Awful match. And it was just there for a popcorn break. That's what it really was. It was a bathroom break.
And the thing is this match went longer than the hardcore title match and longer than Stephen Richards and Jerry Lawler.
Well, how concessions stand.
Memphis Legend. Less TV time than Stephanie McMahon. Well, that kind of makes.
Well, you know how concession stands are. They need someone to postpone that boredom. So that what you do is you two women who act like they can't fight, but they can't, and just roll around the ring for a while, send someone out there, screw the other person over, and bam. You all set.
Eric, what did you think?
Of the Trish Stratus match?
I meant Stevie.
Oh.
I thought it was a good match. It certainly helped, too. We're such big personalities. But honestly, this match carried me through the 8 minutes. It lasted very well, though. Excellent work from these two. A sign of things to come from Trish, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I agree with Stevie. I don't think it deserves that big of a bad rap. I mean, obviously, this wasn't going to be Okada and Omega, but I'd rather
watch the two of them than watch Okada and Omega.
I'm sure you would. But Trish and Stephanie, for two non-wrestlers, I thought they worked as hard as they could. And, you know, obviously, they can't wrestle, but the three theatrics and stuff, to me, was enough. And I'd much rather go get my popcorn and take a piss during Stephen Richards and Jerry Lawler. I thought two hot chicks smacking each other around a little bit wasn't that bad. But, I mean, teach their own. Let's get some ratings in, Eric.
Well, Stephanie wasn't that hot. She didn't start becoming hot until after.
I completely disagree. I thought this was her peak.
I agree with Daniel.
There was something about being a bitch. She was too nice in, like, 2003. Well, I'm not going to get your opinion on this one, Doug. You have enough controversy. But,
No, she was. Here's the thing, and you're already mad at me now, so we might as well just keep going. In 2000,
I don't want to get our show kicked off the air, but that's the reason, man.
In 2003, she, because she played the good girl. She is much better being a heel. Okay? And to be honest with you, I don't like cheering for her. I like not liking her.
Yeah.
And that's basically, I mean, that's, you know, that's all there is to it. There's going to be no controversy.
All right, what's your rating?
My rating?
Yeah.
I give it a 6.
Eric? Ernest?
A 1. I want to give it a 1.
Jesus.
Did Eric give you a rating?
No.
Eric?
I give it a 1. But it was entertaining.
Stevie?
You know what? I'm going to have to... I'll give it a 6.
I agree with you, Stevie. I'm going to give it a 6 as well.
I said 6 too, right?
Yeah, but I agree with Stevie.
Wow.
I gotta send Daniel flowers and candy later.
Triple H and Stone Cold Steve Austin in the Three Stages of Hell match. Like Clinton said, this is why Clinton came. I think this is why a lot of people came to see this thing.
Yeah. Me too. And,
I mean, this is the attraction. It's the fifth match in. There's three matches after that, but this is why a lot. This was probably the hottest rivalry at the time before the Austin and Rock thing. Probably the most bitter rivalry. It's something that definitely deserves
and
this match.
They couldn't touch each other for 3 weeks before this.
Yeah. Well, you can get into it a little bit.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it went about 40 minutes.
Yeah. It went 40. What do you want me to get into, like, exactly? Like, where do you want me to go?
The match
to hell.
The match.
You get into the match?
Yes.
This match. Right, so, this match, you know, again, they had zero tolerance before. So, they couldn't touch each other for 3 weeks. So, you knew they were going to beat the shit out of each other once we got here. First fall was a straight-up wrestling match. Second fall was a street fight. Third fall was inside of a steel cage. And Austin won the first fall. Triple H won the second fall. Triple H won the third fall. And I think a lot of people were upset that Austin didn't win because it kind of derailed his momentum towards WrestleMania, but it really didn't because afterwards he hit Triple H with the stunner. And this match, it didn't feel like 40 minutes. It didn't drag. So I actually really enjoyed this match. I mean, I do think the wrong person won, but I understand why he won.
Yeah.
Because they made it look like it was accidental.
Well, to tell you the truth, it seemed wrong. Watching it back, it looks like it was an accidental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you go back and look at it, they both hit each other with a sledgehammer and a barbed wire. And Triple H just somehow just Austin falls down, and then he just somehow falls on Austin. It was just randomly that he just fell on top of it. He didn't know he won the match. Austin didn't know he lost the match. There was nobody. Be true.
Yeah, I think, as far as, like, who needs to win, too, like, at first, like, I remember watching this a year ago or 10. It's like, wow, Stone Cold should have won this. He had the WrestleMania feud with Rock coming up. And then it's like, well, he was walking into a title feud regardless, and Austin's always going to be Austin. Triple H kind of needed some steam going into WrestleMania, especially with his kind of thrown-together program with The Undertaker. So... I do think maybe the right guy won, and that's the only reason I would have to disagree with an earlier statement that this should have been the main event, because I don't think you can close out with Triple H going over like this. I think Rock
okay,
went
okay, but Triple H did. Okay, but I will say you can make that a main event because look what happened at the end. They both came to. Austin busts Triple H with a stunner and walks off while Triple H is still lying in the ring.
Yeah, I mean, it was perfectly a cool feud, but I mean, who won the feud? The guy that wins the match. I mean, what made the crowd pop more? Was it that stunner or was it the Rock victory? Because, I mean, I could barely hear anything when, even though Earl Hebner fucked up the count a few times, I could barely hear anything when that three count finally hit and Rock held the title up.
Well, you should have him up then.
Good point.
Bring it with me.
You couldn't hear
him. So I'm going to disagree with you because even though going into that pay-per-view, we all knew The Rock was going to win that championship.
Well, that was the storyline. Yeah, everyone thought he was.
No, it was written on paper. I mean, when I first watched it on television, I just knew that they was going to give us WrestleMania 15 rematch over again. I just knew that when Austin won that Rumble, they was going to have find a way to put the title on The Rock, and we was going to get that well-deserved rematch for WrestleMania 15.
You both could make great points.
Well, writing was definitely, yeah, this is the wrong show. The writing was on the wall. I agree with you that the writing was on the wall. Rock and Austin was the money draw. Obviously, they weren't going to do Steve and Kurt at WrestleMania. But
I'll give Daniel.
Thanks, Doug. You're just trying to butter me up now. But I just think, but even still, and that's what I think that's what I love about watching this stuff. The fans gave a shit, man.
Yeah.
Like even they knew that The Rock was going to win, and they were on their feet the whole time. Nowadays, you got to pay somebody to cheer for Roman Reigns. Well, he's a heel now, so I guess it doesn't matter.
Well, you don't necessarily have to pay somebody to cheer for Roman Reigns now. You just threaten to disconnect their internet.
Yeah, yeah. People really cared back then. That's when I wish I was around your guys' age so I could enjoy it more. Because now I just got to deal with the snarky assholes that...
Me or
no wrestling's good. No, not you.
No.
It's like, you know, the quintessential Mark. But
basically Boxman's world.
No.
Everybody but Boxman.
I'm not calling out names. I just say like it was fun then. Like you saw like the reactions. Like if you go back, take that one Royal Rumble, right, where Batista won in Philly. And you just put in a positive crowd. Watching it at home, I think you could probably still enjoy it.
You're going to get mad at me.
That wasn't in Philly, was it?
No.
Okay. Was it in Pennsylvania?
Yes. You should have just said Pennsylvania. I would have let it go.
But to me, fans can make or break wrestling. That's all I was getting to. What are our ratings for this match? Clint, I'll start with you. Dougie?
And.
Eric?
I'm giving it a 10. I loved it.
Steven?
Just watching back, it just felt great.
I'm going to have to, I'll give it a 10.
All right. I'm actually going to go 10 on this one as well. This is like a perfect, especially for there's so much shitty hardcore wrestling out there. This is like a perfect masterpiece in brutality. Like this is how you paint a picture in a hardcore way. And this is like making hardcore wrestling art. What these guys did is, and the chemistry is off the fucking roof.
Yeah. Well, they always had good chemistry.
Yeah.
And by the way, this one gets a perfect score. So it's like Dancing with the Stars. Perfect score.
They hated each other too. They made you believe that they hated each other.
Oh, yeah, it seemed like it. Well, I mean, they tried to kill each other numerous times.
Basically, they really did. Triple H ran them over, had a plan to get Austin, and then what did he do? A year later, he takes a forklift, drops it 20 feet off the air with Triple H in a car, and lands in there. And for some reason, Triple H magically survives.
I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that, but he should have died. I mean, there should have been some reason.
All right. You watch it. Watch it back. No, that's way different than what you did. But you watch it back, you just
like it looks real.
Yeah,
it looks like it was.
Yeah.
Like,
that had been back on television a week later.
Like, yeah, it was like, huh? Like,
yeah,
that
looks like, no. I'm like, after that, it's like, who survived an accident like that? You should be in the hospital for months on out. You're done. You should be dead. And a week later, you come back big buff, stronger than ever, like you just had like a whole jack of steroids costing on the title.
Yeah, there was like no bruises on him either.
His nose broke his fall.
All right, let's move on to what we really came here to see. Stevie Richards versus Jerry Lawler.
Who told you that lie?
The question is, if Kat wins, she gets to be completely naked on the pay-per-view. If Kat loses, she has to join Right to Censor.
I was actually intrigued to see who won because I forgot who won.
You thought, do you really think they would let her get naked? They fired her the next – not well, not the next day. They fired her like right before SmackDown.
Oh.
This is her
– I mean, it was 2001, so.
This is her and Jerry Lawler's second to last appearance.
Yes.
Because they show up on Raw and then that's it. They both – Kat gets fired. Lawler quits the company out of protest.
Because he was sticking up for his wife. Which any good husband would do.
How did that work out for him?
They got divorced later that year.
Wait,
well,
Kat was his wife?
He came back after the invasion.
Yeah, then he came back.
All right, so chronologically here, just very quickly, he leaves.
Yes.
All right, in May, he leaves like late February, right? I think it's like February 27th.
Oh.
Memorial Day of that year, which is in May, they do a piece on, I think it's like Inside Edition or some shit, on how he basically, he came to, or tried to come to a rescue, he quit in protest and all that. I believe by late summer, early fall, they called the marriage quits.
Oh, wow.
Of early November, he signs up for the XWF, which was a company that Jimmy Hart was starting. And they, you know, taped some shows. There was going to be a lot of guys. Basically, they wanted that to be the new WCW. They had a lot of big name guys that were in WCW that were not part of the WWF. Jerry Lawler and Tony Schiavone were going to be the commentators. They did, I believe, two sets of tapings. I think there has to be like 8 to 10 episodes out there. You could probably find them on YouTube.
What is it called?
XWF. I forgot what the X stood for. I looked it up a couple weeks ago. I actually don't think so. I mean, I could be wrong.
I remember you having the DVDs, though. It sucked.
No, that wasn't XWF. That was XPW.
That sucked,
though. Oh, that was horrible. XPW was owned by porn stars. Jimmy Hart's no porn star. Anyway.
You'd watch.
I found one episode.
He's a handsome man. For 78 years old, he's still good looking. Anyway, Jerry Lawler was doing the XWF shows. Vince McMahon calls him and says, we're going to hire you back. So he tells Jimmy Hart, who was a lifelong, or not lifelong, but a very good friend of his, by the way, to fuck off. I'm going somewhere where I know I'm going to succeed.
Poor Jimmy.
He would have come back too if Vince would have asked him.
Yeah, right. All right, there's not too much to this. You know, I really don't – I mean, we could get into it, but Stevie Richards wins with a lot of shenanigans going on, and then they cover the cat in a burlap sack. We never get a payoff to this story, really, besides seeing her in the burlap again.
No, the AWA tried to pay it off. Or not AWA.
Weren't they gone? They were long gone by then, right?
Who am I thinking of?
I don't know.
I got the middle initial wrong. I got the middle letter wrong.
So it's A something A?
Yeah. Oh, APA.
Oh, like the group. You're not talking about a company.
Yeah, no, Farouk and Bradshaw. I should have just said them. Farouk and Bradshaw got
the pick. That's how that feud's done.
Huh?
That's how that feud's done, right?
Well, because they were trying to find a way to get the cat naked anyway. And they were jumped by Right to Censor. So they were trying to continue the feud.
How did they continue it without her?
Yeah. I'll get back to you.
So it never got a payoff.
No, it never got a payoff. Farouk and Bradshaw's involvement got the payoff, though.
Started a different feud, but there was no payoff to this.
I found it on YouTube.
That sex tape?
Yeah, the XWF is on YouTube.
Oh, the XWF? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Eric, whenever you feel like giving a rating, just let me know.
Alright. If I want to give it a rating, I'll give it a 2.
Alright. Clarith was not impressed.
I give it a 0 because the payoff sucked.
Okay.
There was no payoff for it.
Exactly.
All right. Eric was even less impressed. Stevie?
If she would have gotten naked.
Tenzola.
You know what? The match entirely was garbage. So I'm probably going to have to give it a 2.
Okay. Doug, are we getting any love from you on this match?
I'm giving it a 1.
I'm going to give it a 6.
Daniel?
What? Just kidding. No. It was, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's like a half a star, 1 or 2. This sucked.
It couldn't even equal.
It sucks because it's on such a solid pay-per-view. We know how Clinton didn't like Stephanie and Trish, and understandably a lot of people didn't. But some people did. So a lot of people, this card was almost perfect. And then you just had to put this fucking stinker in there.
You know what I said earlier about the Fatal 4-Way being filler? I may have been wrong. I think this was...
Yeah, this was not very good. So let's move on to something that is good. I got everyone's ratings, right?
Yeah.
Now, something unique and different and kind of cool to see, you have a triple threat tag team tables match for the tag team titles. You have the retaining champions coming in, the Dudley Boys, against Edge and Christian, usual team, but instead of the Hardys or some other team you might see, you got the Brothers of Destruction, Kane and Undertaker. Kenneth, we'll start with you again. How did Kane and Undertaker change the dynamic of this match?
I think the intimidation factor they put in, especially when the match first started, you see how hesitant Ed and Christian is trying to start the match, waiting for the Dudley Boys to come out. Come down, and then once you get down, you're sandwiched in between. They run between, run away off to jump off the stage and have the Dudleys and Taker start the match right away. They fit the intimidation factor really well, and I think that's why they were in the match in the first place.
So if Undertaker and Kane were like the Hardy Boys, like the new Hardy Boys or whatever. Would Paul Bear have been Lita if he were out there managing that?
As long as he did.
What? Of course you'll say. Only you will say something like. I was expecting Eric to say something stupid like that.
Hey.
Why would you expect. Eric wants to stay on the air. Like me, I don't
Eric won't push an envelope. Eric would push an envelope if he were a mailman.
Hey.
What, wait, you said hey to that one? Yeah. Trying to get back on track here.
Why?
So I can go to bed.
Oh, yeah. You've had a long day.
So, Stevie, what was your thoughts on this? And how, I mean, this is a different type of match. I mean, yes, we saw a lot of tables and action, especially with the Dudley Boys and Edge and Christian. But especially having Kane and Undertaker work with two tag teams like this, I know they were a popular tag team. What were your thoughts on this?
The whole concept of this match felt rather thrown together, and it was reflected in the quality of the match, if you look at it. I mean, the Dudley Boys hitting the 3D on Christian felt like a bit of anticlimax. I don't know how you spell it.
Anticlimax?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. To the end of the match. Anticlimax.
No, I agree with you. A bit.
I thought it was a good match.
I mean,
I'm just glad there's somebody else on the show that is that has as much trouble with the English language as I do. I mean, that just makes me feel real good.
That's what we're here for, to make you feel good. Now, the brothers, I mean.
What are you talking about? I'm getting fired from the show. Right?
Oh, yeah. Haku and Rikishi, they did kind of make it anticlimactic. I do kind of agree with that because you did have a hell of a match going on. I don't know if you needed the run-in, especially because that story never really did anything either.
Well, what was that about?
I think in a way you kind of needed that run-in, though. And I think the only reason why you need to run in is
the belt, yeah.
For the Undertaker, yeah, to lure him away. Because on paper, you'll figure that this is a match that Undertaker Kane should have won hands down. Without that running,
yeah.
The Dudley Boys should never retain those tag team titles.
Okay, yeah. I can agree with you on that. Explanation-wise, it makes sense because you don't want to make them look weak. So I get that. That's understandable. If you think about it, every person in this match is a Hall of Famer. Or if they're not, they're going to be. Every single person.
Yeah.
I could get in before.
So, is there anything anyone else wants to touch on the match? Or I thought it was good.
It was a really good match. And the thing with Rikishi and Haku, I mean, they kind of had like a blow off, you know, the week after, you know, Undertaker and Kane beat them on Raw. But, and again, it was the feud had to be cut short because, you know, Rikishi was going to be sent to Fed Camp. They wanted him to lose weight. And obviously he was going to do the work because he saw what happened to his cousin.
Yep.
You know, Yokozuna.
I liked it.
All right, well, how many stars would you give it, Eric?
I'll give it a 9.
Okay. Eric, whenever you...
I'll give it an 8.
Okay. Stevie?
I would give it a 9.
I give it a 9.
Did Cliff say 8?
He said 9.
Oh, I said 8. Yeah, I'm gonna agree with the pack. I think I'll go 9. It was different, and to me, this is an underrated match. You don't hear much about this one.
Yeah, it's because it's between the two featured matches.
Well, let's get to the main event. Let's get to the steak and potatoes. The reason, well, not the reason, obviously Triple H and Stone Cold were the reason we're here, but the reason we stayed. Rock and Kurt Angle for the WWE Championship. Clint, I know I'm starting with you again, but you did have interesting takes on this one, especially about The Rock, everyone knowing The Rock's going to win. So get into your thoughts on this match and how did you feel about this?
Well, I'll break it down like this. Like, for going into the match, I call it the TikTok, because that's the main story. The Rock will just go every week, TikTok, counting down the days of Angle losing now in that championship. And the fact, knowing that The Rock can just easily beat it, because I think towards the end, Kurt Angle was being booked as a weak champion, and it seems like it was. He didn't seem like a good heel champion, and at first I didn't think it was too early to keep have him win the title that young in the first place. He didn't fit the championship material. And then looking at the match of itself, I mean, the match is great. I mean, Kurt Angle will put on an excellent show. I didn't think in this time period it was too early to establish him as a good champion that he would be in the future. Let's put it that way. And that's one of my biggest problems about the match, is that he just wasn't ready, in my opinion, for the big time.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting opinion. Stevie, do you share that opinion, or do you think that Angle was ready for the big time here?
I don't think Kurt Angle was ready for the big time at all. I mean, and plus, Big Show's interference didn't really make any sense or achieve anything, and wouldn't lead to anywhere, as neither Rock or Angle would end up facing. You know, I don't think Kurt Angle was like actually ready yet.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, they had the triple threat the next night, right, Doug, for the hardcore title?
Yeah.
That wasn't, like, a big story. It was just a little.
It was basically just a 10, because Big Show got involved in the title match.
Yeah.
Which actually was kind of, that hardcore title match I actually thought was kind of fun.
I mean, I liked Angle here. I agree, 2003, 2004, 2005, Kurt, and even TNA Kurt is probably better, because he was, that's when
yeah.
It clicked.
TNA Kurt was better.
Well, I'll tell you the truth, I think TNA Kurt was better than them all.
Perk Angle is the best.
What angle?
Perk Angle. Because everyone knows his time in TNA was fueled by a lot of Percocet.
Right.
But for some reason, he was at his best. And, I mean,
yeah.
he looked like sick almost, though. Like, he looked pretty bad.
Yeah.
But he still could wrestle with the best of them, man. He was great there.
See, here, and, I, you know, you referenced earlier the Triple Threat Hardcore title match. That episode of Raw, like the next night after No Way Out, that's how you do fallout from a pay-per-view. And they
20 years ago today.
Around, huh?
20 years ago today.
Yeah. I'm so proud of him. My little cubby. But no, that's how you do, like, fall out from a pay-per-view. But talk about this WWF title match. Earl Hebner, God bless him, but Jesus Christ. Did he think Kurt was supposed to kick out?
I don't know what that was. That was the only thing that I was like, huh? From what I heard, Kurt was supposed to win, or that was supposed to be the end there, where Kurt falls into the exposed turnbuckle, rock bottom, 1, 2, 3, we go home. Hebner forgot. And that's what I've always heard. Hebner forgot, and that's why he did the 1, 2, and then he stopped and said he kicked out, because he thought Kurt was going to kick out. And he thought Kurt forgot, so that's why he just said it. He kicked out, and then Rock just did another rock bottom, and it didn't really – it looked like – to me, that's what I
look
heard.
Look out, face.
Yeah, I mean,
second rock bottom looks out of place.
Yeah.
Well, it was. That wasn't supposed to be
the first
rock
bottom should have done it. But I think also
yeah.
because in Earl's head, it's like, okay, well, Rock kicked out of one Olympic slam, so Kurt's got to kick out of one rock bottom because that's how they do false finishes now.
Yeah. I think it was, I mean, everybody has a bad day or a bad game. Earl's one of the greatest referees of all time.
Yeah.
Probably the best.
So, I mean, it's not like he screwed anybody out of the title on purpose.
Yeah, he's never done that. All right, let's get some ratings on this one. Obviously, The Rock wins, and we head into WrestleMania 17. One of the greatest WrestleManias, him and Austin.
Yep.
What would you rate this match, Gwyneth?
I'll give it a 10.
All right. Eric?
I'll give it a 9.5.
Stevie?
I'll give it a 10.
Earl having to ruin the match for Eric. I'll give it a 10.
Wait, so Clint, you still really enjoyed this match, even though you thought Angle wasn't
ready? I enjoyed the match. See, that's a problem. I enjoyed the match. I even knew I was going to win. I wanted The Rock to win. Don't get me wrong. I wanted The Rock to win. It was the fact is how you want to tell the story of how he got the match. The match was going to, how it was going to win. What was going to make the match more exciting and made it worth watching. What's going to hold my interest? And it held my interest. Let's put it that way. Even
the TikTok stuff really works for you too, right? Because I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the whole build up for it, everything was great. The match was great. And even though I knew The Rock was going to win, I just knew the fact is that it told a great story of why my prediction was right. It's like and, reading a good book coming to life.
Yeah.
A book coming to life.
Yeah. I'm going to give this match a 9. I don't know if I can give it a 10 star. I think. I'm only going to say it's a 9 because Triple H and Steve Austin was the best match on this card. So that's why it can be my only 10.
Yeah,
I think
that's exactly why I did that too.
Probably just a little better. And I mean, they had a lot more to, I mean, they had the three stages of hell stipulation, but just that match really took it for me. I'm a huge Rock fan, but I'm going to give this one a 9. Now wrapping up here, gentlemen, let's give our final thoughts on the pay-per-view and then a rating overall of the pay-per-view all at once here. I'm going to start with you, Eric. Final thoughts and a rating of the
pay-per-view. Okay. I thought this was a great pay-per-view. I thought the first 3 months of the year in 2001 were probably one of the best 3 months in WWF history. You got the Royal Rumble, one of the greatest. You got No Way Out, and then you got WrestleMania 17, one of the greatest. I thought it was a great three-month period before the whole WCW storyline. So I'll give the pay-per-view a 10 out of 10. I enjoyed it.
All right. Stevie, final thoughts and rating.
I think this pay-per-view was an excellent show. One of the very best B shows of all time. So overall rating, I'll give it a 9 out of 10.
Okay. I'm also going to give it a 9 out of 10. I agree. I think this is one of the best. Because not everyone looks at No Way Out like Fastlane and stuff. People just want to get to WrestleMania. But this show makes you want to stop and enjoy the road to WrestleMania. So I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10 as well. Clemens, what do you got?
I want to give it a 9 out of 10 as well. The only reason why I'm giving it a 9 out of 10 is because of those two throw matches that give a half point off. Or with a perfect 10 out of 10.
Fair enough.
All right, Doug, take us home here.
Okay. I'm also going to give it a 9 out of 10. And here's the thing. WWF at this time had like a perfect stretch of pay-per-views almost.
going back actually to the year before's Royal Rumble, kind of. I mean, I know Kenny Lehman shit on the Royal Rumble match itself.
Yeah.
But that pay-per-view was actually really good. That No Way Out the year before was real good. WrestleMania, I know people shit on it. I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was good. Backlash, Judgment Day, you know, yada, yada.
Awesome.
All right. All awesome pay-per-views. Again, obviously, I enjoy stuff that people doesn't, that people don't, and that's...
Wait, you really enjoy WrestleMania 2000?
I actually did, Glynis, yeah. I get why people didn't. I understand that.
I was just wondering. There's not many people I know that actually liked it.
Yeah, no, I actually did. I understand why people don't, and it's cool. And, you know, nobody.
Yeah, everybody has their own
opinion.
I'm not knocking you. I'm not knocking you.
But all right. So anyway, before I get too off track here and really get fired from the show, the only pay per view I think between January of 2000 and probably August or September of 2001 that was probably a miss was No Mercy in October of 2001. Or not October of 2001, October of 2000.
Wait a minute.
Kurt Angle and The Rock.
Isn't
that? And the reason why it was a miss is because, well, one very specific reason. Midian Naked.
Kurt Angle won the title?
I forgot about that.
All right. But my thoughts on this show, great pay-per-view. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed everything except for Stevie Richards and Jerry Lawler.
Good. All right, boys. On that note, does anybody have anything else before we ride off into the sunset?
What time tomorrow are we doing?
6
p.m.
6 o'clock. Okay.
Sweet.
Sounds good.
I'm just going to say if I offended anybody by my comments earlier on, I do apologize.
No, you're good.
Because, again, it's just my opinion. Everybody is allowed to have their own opinion. I'm not going to criticize anybody if they feel differently. And I'm just going to let that go after that so I actually don't get fired.
You're not getting – you know you're one of the founders of the show. It's hard to fire you.
You're trying to find a way.
So, no. It's all good fun.
I wouldn't let him. I wouldn't let him fire you.
I'll fire your ass too, Aaron. Me and Clint will run this bit.
Wow.
Me and Clint will
okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
Clint's okay with that.
With that being said – tomorrow, Clintus, be game ready. I can't wait. I'm personally.
I'm preparing now. I'm still preparing. I got something. All right. Line up.
I don't think Mark's going to give his answers until, like, showtime.
As long as we get them. On that note, Stevie, thank you very much for coming on. Clintus, Eric, Doug, this is awesome.
Remember, next week,
welcome.
Fantasy Warfare Hardcore title. And then obviously I'll keep reminding everybody of the shows that we're going to be doing. Basically, I have the next couple of months planned out because we're going to try to be we're actually going to pull it off because I don't know if
we're going to be organized. That's what we're going to do. Organized.
Yeah, we're going to be organized and we're going to be very timely.
That's scary.
Organized or timely?
Both.
All right. But yeah, that's all I got.
All right, guys. We'll see y'all next week. Have a good one.
Later.
Bye.
Later. Bye, Doug. Bye, Steve.
See you guys.
See you, Daniel.